Welcome to Your Rancher Radio, the podcast. It's good to have you along, and this subject matter that we are going to be discussing here is about the Trinity, and I hope that you'll find it very fascinating. I also want to remind you, if you want to be fascinated, go to truthbook.com and check out the timeline section. The late, great Larry Watkins and I had a chance to talk just before his passing not too long ago. And he had mentioned to me that he had created what was a true labor of love for Larry is the timeline that lays out in chronological order the entire Urantia book. So I encourage you that if you want to spend a couple of great hours being fascinated by the sheer volume of information, check out truthbook.com and especially check out the timeline drop-down menu. Very fascinating, and hands off to the late, great Larry Watkins of the Truth Book folks for putting that timeline together. So I want to talk to you about the Trinity. Now, it might not be something that you think matters, but it does. The Trinity represents the pattern by which all creation is imprinted. But I want to tell you a story first. It's about creation. At some theoretical point in time, the perfect deity decided that existential perfection was incomplete. Existential simply means always and eternal existing. It is perfection minus actual experience. Now, in order to have experience, and in order for perfection to become experiential, which means always experiencing, there had to be a dynamic living and experiential relationship between the self and the other. Two selves experiencing a mutually shared relationship constitutes a living experience. And so the second person of deity came into existence, the Son, the Word, the expression of personality that is co-equal with the first person of deity. So at this theoretical moment in time, and I say theoretical because we are finite beings, everything we know has a beginning and an end. For the Trinity, in which everything is infinite and eternal, in order for us to grasp its meanings, infinite concepts have to be expressed in finite terms. So in this theoretical moment, when the Father and the Son, the first and second persons of deity, had their first shared experience, there came into existence a conjoint mind that made it possible for these two persons to communicate and have a shared mutual relationship. And thus the third person of deity, the infinite spirit, the universal mind, the conjoint actor, came into existence to facilitate and to expand and complete the Trinity relationship. We know the Trinity as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. This triune relationship makes possible the myriad of relationships which make up creation. Moving outward from paradise, where the Trinity is centered, there is mind, matter, and spirit. In terms of value, the Trinity is expressed in truth, beauty, and goodness. In the human experience, we exist in physical form, matter, but we have mind, our intelligence, and our spirit provides not only for our eternal existence, but also our ability to discern meanings and values in living experience, which provides for personality growth, experiential wisdom. So now you get a sense of why the Trinity is important. There's much written about it, and almost every major religion embraces the Trinity concept. The Trinity also helps us understand the relationships we have with the different persons of Trinity, and especially their relationships with us. For example, the Urantia book says that while God the Father is the source and center of personality, as well as the primordial controller of all physical energy throughout the existence of paradise, centered in paradise, God is also the spirit that indwells all ascending mortals of time and space. God provides the spiritual gravity. God is not only out there, but he's also in here. And because God is a person, and you are a person, this makes it possible for every human being to have a personal relationship with the first person of deity. God the Son is the creator of all the sons and daughters of God, who oversee universal growth and perfection attainment. Remember, God started all of this because he wanted to attain experiential perfection, expressed in the completion of the Supreme Being. And this means that as each of us perfect in our own experience, so does the Supreme become more perfect every day. Now, many sons of God have been here. Adam was a son, Gabriel is a son. They are all the expressions, really, of God the Father and God the Son in personality form. That's why Jesus was the only begotten Son, the only Son who perfectly expresses that aspect of God's infinite character. As an analogy, think of a very large family. All of your material offspring represent one aspect of your personality. But in a spiritual sense, apply that same analogy to the Trinity. The Trinity expresses itself in the creation of all kinds of spirit personalities. So the Trinity not only provides a pattern between varying realities of mind, matter, and spirit, but they are also expressed by producing economies of beings who serve in and through these three reality environments. Mind, matter, and spirit each coexist, just as the Trinity coexists. So in conclusion, and from paper 10, the opening introduction, we read, "The Paradise Trinity of eternal deities facilitates the Father's escape from personality absolutism. The Trinity perfectly associates the limitless expression of God's infinite personal will with the absoluteness of deity. The eternal Son and the various sons of divine origin, together with the conjoint actor and his universe children, effectively provide for the Father's liberation from the limitations otherwise inherent in primacy, perfection, changelessness, universality, absoluteness, and infinity." Until next time, thanks for listening, and I hope you've enjoyed this segment on the Urantia Radio Podcast.